I've been waiting for 3 weeks to be able to talk about this topic. Was Parshas Tazria Metzora, and we learned about the sin of Lashon Hara. Last week in Achremos Kedoshim, so we learned about the explicitness of Lo Seach Rachel Be'Amecha, and again we didn't have an opportunity for a shir. But this week's Parsha is really the pinnacle of all of those previous weeks regarding this specific issue, as the name of the Parsha is Emor. Speak. In many Svarim, they try to find specific significance in the names of the Parshios. Parsha is not called Emor Ela Kohanim. It's called Emor. And the assumption is that there's something in the Parsha, and there's a theme in the Parsha that teaches us a tremendous amount about speech. Emor, speak. In fact, if you take a look at Vayikra Rabbah, the very first pasuk of our parsha, we're told Emor al Kohanim bnei Aaron rav Tanchum bar Chaniloi pasach Imros Hashem Imros Tehoros Imros Hashem Imros Tehoros Imros Pas Vedam Einon Imros Tehoros. We're told the opening line of the Parsha that Emor tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's speech is pure, is holy, as opposed to the speech of the average human being. And so you see already in the Medrash that they're understanding Emor as distinct from Emor El Kohanim, that there's something to teach us about purity and sanctity of speech from our Parsha. And in fact, there are other indications in the Parsha as well that a theme is the or motive of the Parsha is this idea of purity and sanctity of speech. If we just take a quick look at the structure of the Parsha begins first telling us about the purity and the completeness of the Kohanim. They have to maintain purity, ritual purity. And also about the Mumin and the incompleteness of a Kohen who has a blemish. Then we're told about the purity and the movement of Karbonos. Followed by that, the Parsha tells us about Shabbos and Yontif. We're then told a little bit more about the Mishkan, about the Ner Tamid, the Lechem Aponim. Then the Parsha tells us about the sin of the Mekalel, the blasphemer. After that, the Parsha tells us and reviews for us a few halachos of Nezikin, Ayin Tachsayin. And then, the very last, very, very end of the Parsha returns to the story of the Mekalel and tells us about the punishment of the Mekalel, how the Mekalel was punished. And I read once a piece from Rav Goldrich where he asks the seemingly obvious question in our Parsha of why are we told about the Mekalel in the middle of our Parsha? In general, we're told about the other stories that took place in the desert in Sefer Bamidbar. The fact that there was a Mekalel could have been told to us like the story of the Mekoshesh in Sefer Bamidbar. Why here, in the middle of Sefer Vayikra, is the Torah telling us about the Mekalel? In addition, why is the story split? Why do we begin hearing about the Mekalel, then hear about Nezikin, which we've already learned about last Sefer, and then we return back to the Mekalel? The story is interrupted in order to tell us some laws of Nezikin. And the reason, he suggested, is because the Parsha, the theme of the Parsha, is purity. We're told about Kedushas HaAdam, and this is true about all of Sefer Vayikra, but particularly our Parsha as well. The Parsha begins with the purity of man, the purity of the Kohanim, the priests. We're told about Kedushas HaMakom, the Mishkan. We're told about Kedushas HaZman, Shabbos and Yontif. And by telling us the story of the Mekalel here in Sefer Vayikra, this is its place. Because why? The Torah is trying to impress upon us Kedushas HaPeh, the importance not only of being a pure person, not only about having pure areas and pure locations, not only about sanctifying our time, but also about sanctifying our speech. Kedushas HaPeh. And that's why the Parsha and the story of the Mekalel is taught, because the Mekalel obviously used his speech for inappropriate things. And the Torah is trying to teach us about the importance of pure speech. And it's more than that, because that would also explain to us why the Torah interrupts the story of the Mekalel to reteach us and remind us of some of the laws of Nezikin. Because lest one think that Nezek, that damage, is only through physical harming of another, physical damage. In the middle of the story of the Mekalel, the Torah repeats some of the halachos of Nezikin to teach us that speech is also a form of damage. And that one of the greatest ways, if not the greatest way, that we can damage a person is through our speech. One of the greatest lies you were ever taught as a child was that sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. There isn't anything further from the truth. They may not break your bones, words, but words are able to... There's a famous line about how words are able to kill across the ocean. Now we have bombs and missiles, but before a day of bombs and missiles, so you were only able to hurt a person physically if you were near him. But words can hurt a person across the universe, across the world. And it's more than that, because when you hurt someone physically, so it hurts and then usually they heal. But oftentimes, the pain that's inflicted from a sharp tongue or from inappropriate speech is able to last for many, many years, and sometimes continues with a person throughout their lives. I remember when I was younger, once rooming on a trip with somebody, someone else coming over to me and saying, you know, that person that you're rooming with, there was once a student camp, there was a question about him stealing something, and I think he was one of the suspects. He just, you know, I'm not saying it was him, I'm sure he's changed, but just to be aware. You can imagine that throughout my life, and I continue to have a relationship with him, that every time I'm with him, and you know, if I can't find something, especially when I was younger and we spent time with each other, if I couldn't find my wallet or something, my immediate thought was like, oh gosh, did he take it? And sometimes the Lashon Hara that a person hears about somebody is something that can stay with you forever. So, Baruch Hashem, I now know him much better, and I know that it's probably not true, and if it was true, it was something very far in his past. So Baruch Hashem, we've overcome that. It's no longer a stumbling block in our relationship. But it's something that can last for a very long time, much longer than a wound, a physical wound lasts. And this Lashon Hara, which was the message of the past parshios, and this parsha as well, the ills of Lashon Hara are something that Chazal speak about all the time. And it's something that if we don't attempt to work on it, and we don't really try to combat it, so it's something that's going to always be a problem for us. We're told in the Medrash, Dalad Avokos Heim. There are four Avaks. Avak Ribis, Avak Avodah Zarah, Avak HaRishus, and Avak Lashon Hara. We're not going to discuss the first three for this evening, but we're told Avak Lashon Hara, Dechsev, Vayavo Yosef as Dibosam Ra. So the Medrash says, Avak Lashon Hara, Dechsev, Vayavo Yosef as Dibosam Ra, Mikan Amru, Shnei Tzadikim Laku. Ze Mize, Yaakov VYosef. There were two people who were damaged greatly because they were involved with Lashon Hara. They suffered greatly. Yosef, Shesiper Lashon Hara, Garam Beis HaAsurim Le'atzmo. Yosef, because he spoke Lashon Hara, he brought the Dibosam Ra to his father about his siblings, his half-siblings. So he went to jail for 12 years. The Yaakov, Shekibla, Nistalka Mimenu Shechina, Chaf Beis Shana. Yaakov, who heard the Lashon Hara and accepted it, so for 12 years he lost the Shechina. Halamadata shekol hamisaper Lashon Hara loka pamachas v'amekabu loka shtayim v'gorim la'atzmo gehenim. First of all, you see that the one who receives the Lashon Hara gets punished worse. Yosef only was punished for 12 years. Yaakov was punished for 22 years. But what I want to focus on tonight is the fact, the nature of Yaakov's punishment. What happened to Yaakov when he accepted Lashon Hara? The Shechina left him. And this Medrash is a very important marker for an idea that we're going to see now. The idea that good speech brings the Shekhinah, and bad speech, Lashon Hara, causes Siluk HaShekhinah. It causes the Shekhinah to leave. The Yalkut Shimoni in Hosea. Amar of Chizda, Amar of Yirmiah Bar Abba, Arba Kitos Hain. There are four groups. She'ein Mekablin Pnei HaShekhinah, that aren't Zoche to greet the Shekhinah. Kat Leitzim, those who joke around. Kas Chanfim, Kas Shakronim, and Kas Mesapri Lashon Hara. Leitzim, Chanfim, people who are flatterers, sycophants, Shakronim, people who lie, and Mesapri Lashon Hara, people who speak Lashon Hara. You're not Mekabel Pnei HaShekhinah. And in his drashos, the drashos of the Ri Ibn Shu'ab, who was a Talmud of the Rashba, in Parsha Shlach, he tells us, "V'zehu inyan b'sodas Torasenu, ki tachlis hagemul b'olam haba, hu aschar she'ein l'mimenu." The greatest reward that a person can get in Olam Haba. We're all looking forward to Olam Haba, Be'ezus Hashem, Abba Aleinu, eventually. So what is the greatest schar that a person can get? Hu ha-mekabel pnei Shekhinah. It's to be mekabel pnei Shekhinah. Whatever that means. To greet the Shekhinah. It's the greatest possible schar a person can have. And it happens achar pnei ha-ptira, after you die, from the bnei aliyah, ha-nechnasim below bar, liros pnei adonehem. The ones, the tzaddikim, who go right to the front of the line, they get to be mekabel pnei Shekhinah. V'yeshna mehalchim ben ha-malachim, and they get to live with the malachim. Ubeemes ki ilu haroim zochem la sagazos he madregos mehem bepesach habayis mehem befnim mehem yoshim in front of tamid. There are those who just get to see Hashem from a glance, like if you're in a huge stadium and you can see the sports player very, very far. He's very small down in the field, or if you can be sitting down in the mezzanine, or you can be sitting right on the field. Everyone gets a different perspective. Some people are mamish with the Kaddish Baruch Hu every second. The elu hein shiva kito shel tzadik vazochem lios benoam Hashem shuas baklari hamiira l'sholter kol be'ena. This is the highest level of perception of God. V'zeh bikesh v'hasig Moshe b'chayav. This is what Moshe, all Moshe desired. Moshe was probably a pretty pure and holy person. And what was it that Moshe desired? He wanted this experience of to be mekabel pnei HaShekhinah. This is what he said to Hashem: Hareini nas darkecha. Es kvodecha, excuse me. Hakavod agadol, please show me. This is the greatest honor I can have. Aval, the acha, chaim zochem aroim la. But afterwards, we're able to have this. Klomar, zochel reishos, li roso acha sheyem nechokin tzofon. But kol zel onesh, elu akitos. And this is the punishment for those kitos. Those kitos who do these things, shakranim, Leitzanim, Bali Lashon Hara. The punishment for a Bali Lashon Hara, a person who speaks Lashon Hara, and it doesn't say one who ever said a word of Lashon Hara, but a Bali Lashon Hara, a person who speaks Lashon Hara, and we all know people like that. Hopefully it's not ourselves. That as soon as you see them, that's the first thing that happens. You start talking about other people. That's like their nature of conversation. You go out to eat with them, you don't talk about issues. You don't speak about Avodas Hashem. You don't speak about politics even. L'havdil. You're speaking about other people all the time. What this one did, and what that one did, and this one. What this one said. Where's this guy holding? Where's that guy holding? Oh, he's so frum. I saw him. He's got his tithis out. And this one, oh, he's still a bum. He's still hanging out. And I saw him in Ben Yehudi. He was like drunk and straggling. And I was getting into the Sherut with a mishnah in my hand. He was like drinking in a bar somewhere. Right? You're talking, and listen, it's just like about yeshiva. It's like updates. It's just like, you know, what's going on. And you're reading the gossip in the newspapers. Just because it's in print doesn't mean it's not Lashon Hara. So these are the people that we're told are not zocha to the greatest schar that there is, to be Roa Pnei HaShekhinah. And I have to tell you a mind-blowing story. Terrifying story. It's a story, I can tell you, that I know the Baal Ma'isa myself. It's not just some story that I read in Chicken Soup for the Soul or something. It's a real story that I know the Baal Ma'isa myself. A friend of mine's grandmother passed away. And On the 1 year yahrzeit, the anniversary of her death, they were supposed to have a suda. And all the family was there, ready to have the suda. And my friend's mother, the daughter of the deceased, wasn't there. Everyone was waiting where she was. Finally, the door opens, she comes in, she has a huge bag with her. She starts taking out svarim and passing them around. It's a sefer Shmiras HaLashon. Chafetz Chaim Shmiras HaLashon. She's passing it around to everybody. My hi, what's going on? Everyone asked. Why are you late? And why are you passing around the sefer Shmiras HaLashon at the Suda? She said, I have to tell you all a story, something that happened to me last night. Last night I had a dream. And in my dream was Bubby. And she was wearing a beautiful evening gown. She was all made up. She looked very beautiful. And I ran to her and I said, Bubby, how are you? I miss you so much. How is everything in Shemayim? Are you okay? Is everything alright? You look great. Is everything okay? And Bubby said to her, yes, everything's fine. Don't worry. There's not much I can tell you. And I'm sorry, I'm really only here to communicate one thing with you. You cannot possibly fathom how serious and strict it is up here for people who speak Lashon Hara. And the dream ended, and Bubby disappeared, and the mother woke up. True story, happened less than 5 years ago. And when she woke up that next morning, she ran right to the Judaica store on Central Avenue, and she bought herself copies of Shmiras HaLashon, Chafetz Chaim, and she made sure that every member of her family got that sefer, because she never had a dream of her grandmother since the day of her death, and the dream only had one message in it. You do not know how serious they take Lashon Hara up here in Shemayim. The Gemara in Zvachim tells us Tanad Rabbi Yishmael Amahak Toris Mechaper Al Lashon Hara. The pinnacle of the Yom Kippur service, when the Kohen Gadol went into the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim to bring the incense, fill up the Kodesh Kadoshim. Why was he doing that? For what purpose? What was he trying with that tremendous avoda that Kohen and Gadol lost their lives for? Because they were going lefnai v'lefnim. They had to tie a rope around him to pull him out in case the amounts of Kedusha in the room were too strong for him and would overcome his body. Why was he in there? To prevent Gilui Arayos? To prevent breaking Shabbos? Eating non-kosher? To be mechaper on the sin of Lashon Hara. The Maharal explains that on Yom Kippur we're trying to be like Malachim. The essence of a Malach is that he's always surrounded with the Shechina. How could we possibly be Malachim if we're Bali Lashon Hara? That's why we need the Kapara in the Lefnai v'Lefnim for Lashon Hara. Because Lashon Hara causes the Shechina to go away. And if we want to be holy, we want to be pure on Yom Kippur, we need to remove anything from within us that will prevent Hashras HaShechina. That's what the Maharal says in his Drasha on Shabbos Shuvah. This is actually even manifest in Halacha. In the Asagos HaRamban, Sefer HaMitzvos, the mitzvos that the Rambam didn't count, in the Lavin, the 11th mitzvah, the Ramban tells us, we are commanded in our camp, in our army camp, to not allow anything evil, anything into the camp. The yisod is that we're not supposed to allow anything in the camp that's going to cause a sila kashchina. What is this referring to, that we have to avoid certain things in the army camp? Erva, avodah zara, shvichos damim. And then the Sifri adds, Af Lashon Hara. Shvichas Damim, Arayos, and Lashon Hara. That's the group. That's what Halpi Halacha, we have to make sure we don't have in our army camps, in order to make sure that there's Shechina in the camp. Payam Achanecha Kadosh. We have to clean up after ourselves. When a person goes to the bathroom, and we have to make sure that there's no Lashon Hara spoken in the camp. Just as bad speech causes the Shechina to leave, so too good speech causes the Shechina to come. The Maral's Medayik, this from the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, Paragimel, Mishnah Beis. Mishnah says, Shnayim Sheyoshvin, and there's Divrei Torah Beinehem, Yesh Beinehem Divrei Torah, Shechina Shuria Beinehem. But when one sits, so Hashem is apportions for him schar. How come when two sit, there's Shechina, and when one sits, there's just schar? Says the Maral, because as the Mishnah says, Yesh Beinehem Divrei Torah. Because when you learn with another person, you're speaking in Torah. And the speech, proper speech, like speech of Torah, causes the Shechina to be Shora. That Shechina, speech doesn't only affect Hashras HaShechina. It's fascinating. We're trying to say that Parshas Emor is a Parsha about proper speech. In the Torah we find two types of expressions about speech, Emor and Dibur. In general we're familiar with Rashi, that Dibur is a harsher Lashon. Amira is softer speech. But perhaps there's another Yisod. We know that there are Aseres HaDibros. Dibros, Milashon Dibur. And it might be that most mitzvot are introduced with Vayedaber, because most mitzvot are linked to Sinai. Why every once in a while, in a few rare situations, do we have mitzvot introduced with Lashon of Amira? Because besides 10 Dibros, there were also 10 other things in our history. Asara Ma'amaros, Milashon Amira. And it could be that when the Torah uses the words Dibur, Vayedaber, it's hearkening us back to Sinai. And yet, when the Torah uses the words Amira, Vayomer, so it's teaching us there's some connection here to creation. Parshas Emor, the message of speech, comes from Emor, perhaps, because we know that the world was created through Amira, Asara Ma'amaros. And the koach of speech is not just something that we should take for granted, but it's something that draws its koach from creation. Hashem created the world through speech. And we too can create worlds through speech. You can bring down Kedusha, you're mocked or something through speech. We say Kiddush, Kiddush Medioraisa really is speech. It might also be Alayayin, it might have been Kover Alayayin. But Kiddush comes through speech. We're learning now Meseches Kiddushin, Rav Yosher's Medayik in the Rashi, in the very beginning of the Mesechta, that you see already in the very beginning of the Mesechta, that Amira is a vital component of Kiddushin. That's why Rashi goes out of his way on telling us about Kesef Shtar and Bia. He tells you what the Amiras are. Why do you have to tell me about the Amira? I don't need to know that in order to know what Kesef Shtar and Bia is. It's the Medayik. That's because the Amira is a chelek, an integral part of the Kiddushin. That's how you're makdish an animal through speech. That's how Hashem created the world. If we use speech properly, we create tremendous bonds and we bring Kiddushin into our lives. And when we speak negatively, so we distance ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we bring impurity into our lives. Once Rav Simcha Bunim of Prisischa sent a group of his Talmidim to a certain inn in a faraway town, and he said, go to this inn, you'll be able to learn a tremendous lesson there from the innkeeper. When the Hasidim reached the inn, their host prepared for them. They obviously put down their bags, they checked into the inn, and their host came knocking and prepared for them a beautiful meal. As they were coming into the meal, they were slightly hesitant, looking over the inn, looking at the innkeeper, and they started to murmur to each other. He looks pretty friendly with his non-Jewish workers. I think he hangs out with them a lot outside. I don't know, he doesn't look like such a religious Jew. You think we could trust the food? You think the food's okay? You think the kashrus is okay? And they were murmuring and discussing amongst themselves. Is it possible that he knows all the halachos? He checked for bugs. You think in all the lettuce, and you think all the meat's mahadrin, and you think that all the dairy is Chav Yisrael. And they were going through all the different studim. And the innkeeper, who was no fool, picked up on what was going on. And he said to them, Chasidim, Chasidim, you're so careful about what comes into your mouth. Why aren't you just as careful about what comes out of your mouth? Hashem should help all of us. Hashem should help every one of us that throughout our lives we develop the skill of not speaking Lashon Hara. We learn to use the precious gift of speech to create worlds like Hashem did. Ultimately, that's a way to imitate God. When we use our speech to create as opposed to destroy, so then we're imitating what God did. He used His speech to create. Hashem should give us all the strength and the help that we should distance ourselves from Bali Lashon Hara. We ourselves should be people who speak positively and don't ever let a negative word come out of our mouths. And if we do that, so Be'ezus Hashem, we'll all be Zoche to be Mekabel Pnei Hashchina.